Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in.
So today we're talking about Dowager's hump, which is essentially really, really hunched posture. And we always want to give everyone a little bit of a takeaway or what can you do at home. Well, one thing that you can do is go and order our Optimal Body Therapy Kit. And one real big benefit of this is as soon as you get it, you will get a 7-day back program that gives you exercises that might even be able to help relieve some of the symptoms that you have from a forward hunched posture and really help long term to combat the progression of that. So go check out the link in the show notes. If you use code OPTIMAL10, you can get 10% off your kit today. And this kit is really just going to give you all of the tools that you need to use in home to continue to improve your movement, find your restrictions, and overall optimize the way you live. Go check it out. And now we're going to head into the PT Pearl.
Let's talk about the famous hump, which is Dowager's. Oh my gosh.
Dowager's. We could keep going.
That was great. I know,
that was a great start. The famous hump.
Let's talk about the famous hump. This is Dowager's hump.
Dowager's hump. The famous hump. Nice.
It is.
It's hump day. I wish we released this on Wednesdays.
Oh my God.
It's a Monday.
But this is that like hunchback that you get, that a lot of people often complain about. And it's actually maybe becoming more popular in our days.
More popular. It's all the rage these days, that Dowager's hump. And I think that a lot of people kind of just grow up almost in the fear of like, am I going to have this hunchback? Am I going to develop that? Like, how can I prevent that from happening?
Mm-hmm.
Because we see it as people age. And I will say that, you know, especially in the literature, when we look at who most commonly has this Dowager's hump, it's more prevalent or more present in older populations. And really what it means is that curve in your thoracic spine, which we know is kyphosis, where you kind of have that curve forward in your upper spine, gets above like 40 degrees. And how you measure that is a little bit intricate, but
yeah, I mean, and so we just want to talk you through, you know, where does this really come from and what can you really do about it? And I think that's the main thing, right? I get DMs all the time. What can I do about this?
Yeah.
And I can remember just like the image that will continuously and always pop up in my mind was my principal in elementary school. Like, I will never forget her. I'm sorry, but
hopefully she's not listening.
Well, she was very old when I was in elementary school, and I'm a little older now. So
people live long these days. Sorry if you're listening out there.
Well, she had a very distinguished Dowager's hump. She just did. And not good, bad. It was just, I always remember her head was very forward, and she had that pronounced hump right at the top of her upper back base of the neck. And that's where I know a lot of people start forming it. And it's almost like, is that an extra bone that's coming out of my body? And what is happening? You know, yeah. I get a lot of questions of like, I'm developing this hump and it seems like it's not a part of my body. It's now outside of my body almost.
Yeah. And I mean, the very first thing that I think of, especially like for our generation and how we're already mentioning like this thing might be getting a little more common or it might be getting a little more popular. Like everyone, if you're listening, assume the cell phone position. You know, like, what do you immediately do? You bring your head forward, you slouch your shoulders, you're in already that forward posture. And when we're kind of reading about this Dowager's hunch, one of the things that we see is really common is this tightness in the front of the body or the front side of the body, your pecs, your core, your hip flexors, they are all a lot tighter versus the backside of the body. We have weakness or laxity in the back muscles of the body.
It almost becomes that typical and very literature, you know, upper cross syndrome.
Yeah.
Where we have tightness here, tightness in the back of the skull up into the upper neck area, and then weakness in the upper shoulder blade area, weakness in the front of the neck. Like, that is upper cross syndrome. I don't know if you've heard it before. Nothing to be afraid of, and it's a very basic way of being able to look at tight, tight, weak, weak.
And another, like, along with upper cross, you can potentially see a lower cross syndrome as well, which is like tight hip flexors, weaker glutes, tighter quads, more lax hamstrings. So like that kind of both sides, because we are constantly kind of in this forward posture, we're causing a shortening on the front side of the body and a lengthening on the back side of the body. And that can have a lot of profound, I want to say, consequences as we age, because as soon as we start bringing our head and our shoulders forward, we're changing how our body stands on our base of support, being our feet. As soon as we bring our head and shoulders forward, we might need to stick our butt out and arch our low back, you know, to kind of get into that lordosis in the low back where we have this kyphosis in the upper back. And you also see people who have this Dowager's hump start to develop balance issues, postural issues, issues walking, and just their sensory systems start to, I don't want to say degrade, but start to get a little less efficient, you know, as we age. And I think a lot of it might have to do with our positioning.
I mean, 100%. And we talk about this a lot. I've discussed or had lives or anything with like a pelvic health therapist. You know, they talk so much about posture, and there's a reason, because our posture dictates how our muscles are going to work in this pressure system that makes up our trunk, where air comes in and our air comes out, right? And so we do see breathing dysfunctions even. Yeah. I mean, think about it. You're rounded here. You're closing off your airway, and then your head is forward to keep you looking up at the world. And so we're disrupting our system of breathing and the way that our air comes in or out. And when we do that, we're going to disrupt our muscular patterns, all the way from the pelvic floor to how our glutes are working, our core, our neck. Like, it's disrupting kind of everything the more that we fall into this posture. And I think, and so obviously we get, like Dom said, you're like disrupting not only your gait, but maybe you're making smaller steps because you're afraid you're going to fall. And your proprioception and the way that you're moving in space is all a little bit off. You know, decreased mobility, all these things. But I think the best thing when we're going through literature is to see that it's not genetic.
Because what a lot of people like to say is like, oh, my grandma had it.
Yeah.
My mom has it.
Yep.
I'm going to have it. Okay. Not necessarily supported by literature, I guess, if that's the story you want to tell yourself, and you're just going to inevitably end up with this thing. Okay, but there are things that we can do about it.
Yes.
And there are ways that we can start moving differently, start treating our body differently, so that we don't chronically develop in this way. Like, this is something that develops over time.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like an acute, I had an injury and suddenly I wake up with a Dowager's hump.
No.
You know, you're not going to be walking around, you know, supporting yourself with great posture, great breath, moving through life, and then all of a sudden wake up with this forward posture. It's something that develops over years and years and years. So there's a lot we can be aware of.
Oh, totally. And especially when we're talking about anything musculoskeletal, like, we have the ability to change what's happening musculoskeletally. Is that a word?
I think so, but you just say it weird. You and all the Canadians. Musculoskeletal.
But anytime we're talking about the way that our muscles are working, whether it's we're talking about shortening or lengthening or whatever it is, that means that we're causing an effect on our structure. It's not just, oh, this is the structure I'm born with. You're probably not born with it. So it's not genetically handed to you. This is something that you get to have the ability to change. And I think that's so empowering. That's so amazing. And also knowing, like Dom said, this takes years to develop, and we don't usually see it until you're older, or maybe even in your 30s now, because of the way technology is and our works and our job and everything is forward, and we're becoming more stagnant within our body. So yeah, we might even see it a little bit earlier. I wouldn't be surprised if the literature starts popping up that we're seeing it at younger ages.
And again, like Dowager's hump, like, okay, yeah, they say once it gets above 40 degrees, that's when we call it Dowager's Hump. Like many people have just kyphosis or more of like a general kyphosis. You know, there are things called juvenile kyphosis where you do see that in people who are in their teens already having this pronounced like curving of the upper back. And I think, I don't think it's a long shot to say that technology and how much we're all huddled around technology constantly. We're all on computers at school. We give tablets and computers to our children when they're 8 years old. Like, how do we think that that's going to develop their movement patterns throughout life when as soon as they get home from school, they get on a tablet to do their homework and then they play games on a tablet until dinner and then go to bed? Like, what can we start doing differently to influence movement and to influence our musculoskeletal development in our body so that this doesn't just become the norm?
Yeah. And that's the main thing to realize, right? It's something that develops long over time. So it is going to take long over time to start reversing this. And I think that's the most important key. I get people all the time in DMs, what can I do? Well, what are you willing to start doing now? Yeah. Because this isn't going to be something like, hey, do this little pec stretch and you're going to be all good.
It's gone, you know?
Like, yeah, it's something that's going to take consistent work for the rest of your life. That's it.
If somebody was willing to devote 5 minutes to this, what would you tell them? Putting you on the spot. Someone had 5 minutes. What could they do in 5 minutes a day? Be like, do this daily. 5 minutes.
The one thing that we talked about in the ergonomic episode, which like desk posture, and I think that's so highly important because usually, again, if you're in this technology-based world, you're sitting, you're stagnant a lot of the time. The one thing that we come back to over and over again is take 30 seconds every 30 minutes or something every 30 minutes to an hour. It doesn't even have to be getting out of your chair to change your posture and do something different. You can, like Dom is doing, bring your arms behind, hands behind your head, open up your chest, reach your shoulders back and forward. Don't be afraid to round, but then don't be afraid to go the opposite way, right? Put your body in all ranges of motion, side bend, rotate. You could do all these things in your chair and you can have a reminder that pops up every 30 minutes, every hour that reminds you, do something to move. That is, to me, the most fundamental, most important thing is that we're not stagnant.
Yeah, because that's where our brain starts to tell, you know, through our nerves, if we sit in a position for longer than an hour, for 2 hours, for 4 hours, our brain starts to say, all right, nerves, looks like we're going to be here for a while. Let's start tightening down. You know, let's start. And that's literally what is happening from brain to muscle. It's sending in those messages where, if after 30 minutes you hear your alarm and you're like, all right, 30 seconds, let's open up that chest, let's stretch. Then the brain's like, oh, hey, we're doing something different. Never mind, guys. Like, make sure you give them that slack. Make sure you let them have that room to play with so we're not just tightened down. And so
that's a good analogy.
You know, I love like that. The 30 for 30 rule, every 30 minutes, 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. If you do that throughout an 8 hour day of work, that's 4 minutes, 8 minutes. If you're, you know, if you're doing that every 30 minutes, that you're going to be adding 8 minutes of movement in throughout your day. And it's amazing how much that 8 minutes will change your pain and change the way that you're feeling your body at the end of the day when you get home.
And change the way you ultimately look over time. I mean, that's what we're talking about. If we're really focused on this hunchback posture, like that is an overtime thing. So what you're doing now and every day, I say, okay, I didn't move a lot today. I know that. I'm aware of that. What am I going to do differently tomorrow? It's never like, oh, I give up. Like, this is my job. This is my life. This is it. No, we get a choice every single day to choose something different. And I think it's so incredible, the access to the ability to provide these things, whether it's at the park. I'm going to go commit to 30 minutes an hour walking around a park every day, or and looking at nature, getting outside. My gaze is up. I'm not looking down. I'm not on a phone. You know, what are you going to do? It doesn't have to be strenuous exercise. However, there are exercises that we looked at as well that are going to be the most important when it comes to strengthening certain areas and opening up others.
Yeah, and those specific muscles being, we talked about how our back muscles, our posterior chain, a lot of like our extensors, our shoulder blade retractors, things that are going to pull our shoulder blades back, extend our hips. So doing something like a deadlift where you're extending your hips and squeezing through your glutes. It doesn't have to be a heavy deadlift, but just bending down, picking up anything from the ground, using weights or using a band to add some resistance to that. That's going to help you keep your chest up, shoulders back, and squeezing through those glutes.
Yeah, learning a proper deadlift can be so beneficial. And it's, again, it's gaining that awareness and that access into the body to what is my body doing under load? What is happening? What are my tendencies? I mean, that's something that I still am always working on. You're always working on, like, no matter how good of movers we are, we're always like, you know, just becoming more aware of our posture through movement is huge, because it's going to affect different muscles that are working. And I think that's what's most important. How are we loading the overall body, getting into deadlifts, getting into squats? And then we have to remember, well, if I want to strengthen my back, I need to open up my front, right? And so they also looked at making sure that you're doing stretches for your pecs, your quads, your hip flexors, you know, making sure that you're mobile through the upper back, through the rib cage. I mean, I loved the expansion of the rib cage, talking about that. We talked about that so many times. It's hard to breathe here, right? Yeah. Rounded into a bent over posture. But if you stand, if you kind of stack your shoulders over your hips and place your hands on your low rib cage and expand into that low rib cage, all of a sudden you're upright more. You're better in your posture and you're breathing easier.
Yeah. And so, I mean, if we're going to bring up some examples, because we say all these things like do some retraction or get into rotation, like what are some things that people can actually do? Something that's super common, say this is something you do during your 30 seconds that you're getting up, is just a wall or a doorway pec stretch. Right?
Huge.
And you can do it with your hand a little higher, a little lower. You can feel where that changes the stretch throughout your chest. That'd be an incredible one to do. And another way to kind of progress that if you're up against the wall is to do kind of the thoracic rotation that we do when we're against the wall, where you're dragging your arm in a big long circle around the wall, opening up, rotating through your upper back. That also kind of helps you stretch through the opposite hip. So again, a lot of things that are just putting your body in a different position than sitting at the computer or sitting looking at a phone.
Exactly. And hey, hint, hint, a lot of these things, we do it in the plans and programs. Like, this is exactly what I plan and program into. And especially pec stuff, quad stuff, hip flexor, because I know that people are so tight. I'm so tight in those areas. I'm working at a computer all day long. When we're saying these things as like reminders, it's reminders to myself as well. I know I get to move a little bit more. I'm not mad at, you know, I see when friends are wearing the Apple Watches and getting pinged, like, oh, I need to stand and move a little bit. I think that's cool. Like, if you have something that's reminding you to stand and move and not sit too much, that's cool.
Yeah. I mean, that technology can be a huge thing to be a physical reminder that will eventually hopefully become an automatic thing.
Yeah.
But like Jen was saying, if you haven't checked out the Jen Health platform yet, go to jen.health. You get a free week to explore the platforms, to explore the programs, and really all the amazing information that's on there. So go check that out.
Yeah. So it's so many different areas that you can go into in there. But again, when we're coming back into this, we can't just look at the upper body when we're talking about this. Yes, that's where the prominent, you know, problem that we physically see is, but we know that there's issues in balance. So that means that we get to look at the ankles, from strengthening to mobility, how the feet work. How much are you wearing shoes all the time? Like, I tell my mom, don't wear your shoes in the house. That's taking the proprioception and the ability of your feet to feel. Do not wear your shoes in the house. Like, I get floors are cold. I wear socks, but at least something to give you more awareness and feedback of the ground is going to help that proprioception, which helps your balance.
Yeah. And that's what really in the research it said was the first line approach should be physical therapy. But the thing that I liked is that it wasn't just like, okay, do these exercises. It had this multi-directional approach of working on balance, working on your somatosensory systems, which is balance, our vestibular system, which is that inner ear device that tells us, you know, which way's up and how to stay upright, along with doing a lot of these different stretches, like we're talking about, your hip flexor stretches, ankles, along with chest and chest stretches, and then back strengthening. So it was really this multi-directional approach where if we're starting now, you know, when we're in our late 20s, early 30s, or if you're noticing some of these things starting to develop, like start now before you really get later in life and notice, oh, wow, I really have progressed down this path and I'm now having a lot of these more end stage symptoms.
And it's never too late to start to. And I think that's what's so important. I remember one of the photos, this was like years ago now, but it's still prominent in my mind, was someone, I think she was a trainer, and she worked with a woman who had a Dowager's hump, and she was quite later in age. And then to like years later, let me say that again, years later, they worked together and she's standing up straight. And it was such a cool thing to be able to see that someone older was able to create this change. And a place that you can even start, if this is something that you are dealing with, how much are you on the ground? How much are you laying on your stomach and trying to like put your, can you look up? Can you like get yourself on your stomach, get yourself on your forearms, kind of get into like a Sphinx pose, I think is what it is in yoga.
Sphinx or Cobra.
Yeah. And starting to open up the upper body, which or the front of the body, which we're talking, and start strengthening and pulling in the back. And can you do just 2 to 5 minutes of laying on your belly? You know, how does that feel? How can you start to just start to change your environment, change what's happening in your body?
So I hope you got a few good tips. If you've been feeling like you're somebody who tends to have that forward rounding in your upper back, on how to start approaching that. And a great way to do that would be to go check out the Gen Health platform. We do have a free week to start exploring these plans. It's an amazing system. We're super excited to get more people into that so that they can change their health journeys. If you've been watching on YouTube, you notice that we're demonstrating some of these exercises, and the background is our new PRX home gym system. Such cool equipment to have that is so space saving. They have dumbbells, squat racks, plates, slam balls, anything you might need in home. So go down to the link in the bio if you want to check out some of that equipment. Otherwise, we will see you next time on the Optimal Body Podcast.